5:30, Monday evening. It means it's time for Talking About Practice. Let's get it.
Not a game, not a game, not a game. We talking about practice. It's easy to sum it up when you just talk about practice. I mean, listen, we talking about practice. I mean, how silly is that, man? We talking about practice. We talking about practice, man.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome. It is indeed Talking About Practice, FM 90.1 KZFR, located and broadcasting live from the heart of downtown Chico, California. I'm your host, Jerome Gilbert. Joined with me, as always, my accomplice, I guess.
Yeah, that sounds... I don't know. Does that make me sound better? Accomplice?
I don't know.
Yeah, partner in crime.
Seems more fitting for... the relationship, and we have trainee Josh.
Oh, I'm Derek Asamaki, by the way. Yeah. Thank you for the name. Yeah, just accomplice. That's all I get.
You can introduce yourself.
Thank you,
big boy. Josh Lang's here as well. He's going
to
get on
everyone.
A little
good
bit
to be
later.
Back.
Yes, it's good to have you. So we have a big show. We have, man, what do we have coming up? MLB playoffs is crazy.
Oh yeah.
Another football weekend we got to get through.
It happens so often.
WNBA finals, of course. Your insiders and your home for WNBA finals talk.
Yeah, dude, that's hot right now.
It is. Game five.
Yeah.
So, anyway, before we get into all that, as discussed, we have a lot to talk about. But really, really quick here, let's knock out some of this underwriting. Talking About Practice is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Mountain Sports, providing outdoor clothing and equipment for hiking, cross-country skiing, camping, and just enjoying the great outdoors. Mountain Sports is located in downtown Chico at 176 East 3rd Street. Their telephone number is 345-5011, 345-5011. So thank you to Mountain Sports, and thank you to each and every one of you guys listening. Welcome. Real quick, I wanted to mention next week is our annual fall pledge drive. It starts Wednesday morning with Cosmic Kev. Basically, we're community radio.
Yeah, we don't get any money, really, except for you guys.
Well, that's not entirely accurate.
Fine, there is some grants we get.
I don't think you're painting an accurate picture. But you guys, you listeners, are the reason we get to do what we come here and do. Sometimes poorly, but we make a hell of an effort each and every
week. You're here,
though.
That's, yes. It's the thought that counts,
and
right?
It's because of our listeners' support. And, you know, nowhere else in Chico do they do what we do, a locally produced sports show. We've all obviously carried the torch from Jake, who started this. And, you know, KZFR offers such diverse music, diverse news with a local perspective that you just don't get anywhere else. I mean, where else can you get, like, Hmong hymns?
Some Gaelic radios.
Some hip-hop, some reggae, some dancehall.
It's great. I mean, that's
we cover all bases, man.
Community radio is really all about, like I said, it's we are listener-supported community radio, and we play what we really want. We don't really have any, like I said, corporate agenda or any agenda really in that matter. It's just whatever the community, they come together, and for the most part, everyone that's part of the station is a community member themselves.
Yes.
So we all live in this town and benefit from its ups and its downs. So we just want to keep that going. And this pledge drive allows us to keep the lights on in this place, along with providing great shows that I'm sure all our listeners love coming to.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, it is so important. Not what we do per se. I'm talking about you and I, but the idea of having a voice for the community, and that's exactly what we try to provide. Again, we don't always articulate it the best, but maybe I'm short selling ourselves. We do all right from time to time.
I mean, I like
flashes
to think,
of brilliance.
Yeah,
flashes
exactly. Of brilliance. That is probably best way to describe it. We are somewhat flashes of brilliance here.
But the point being is, whatever you guys can do, and it doesn't matter. I mean, of course, we're going to have some custom gifts for our show. But it doesn't matter if it's our show, someone else's show, if it's your favorite show, or just a show you're tuned into. Anything you guys can part with, you know, we're asking you to open your hearts, open your purse strings and wallets, and whatever you can kick us would be great. It helps us do what we do, man.
I was gonna say, don't make it seem like you're just giving us money. You do get stuff in return. Oh, you have plenty of gifts.
Yeah, I'm wearing a hoodie today is so fresh. We have some great gear this year, but we'll talk about all that next week. And I actually have a pretty cool story about last pledge drive. But let's get into the show, man, because we have no guests, so we have a little bit more time today. It's been fun doing the interviews, and thank you to the men and women of Chico State men's and women's basketball and the girls volleyball team. We're hoping to get a lot more guests over the next coming months. But we're free today. It's just us.
It is, yeah. So we're just chilling.
Let's get into it. Major League playoffs have been terrific.
Great games.
Good games.
Yeah,
yes.
I mean, terrific is a tough for certain fans. For other fans, it's been awesome. It's been great so far. It's a slow, but who would have thought the baseball playoffs have kind of taken a lag over the past couple of years. And just baseball in general, just due to the fact of football's overwhelmingly popularity.
Yes, and I want to talk about that later, but remind me if you...
Yeah, I keep that note on there. And just baseball was never able to keep up. Like, their ratings were losing to Monday night games between, like, Jaguars and, you know, the Giants. You know, teams that don't really... Cincinnati, probably a better option. But they put on some great shows lately. The past couple of games have been phenomenal from the NLDS, particularly. The AL was figured out rather quickly.
Yeah.
Both sweeps over there. But
on the NL side,
it was great games. I mean, game number three for the Giants versus Cubs provided
classic.
13 innings.
Classic,
of
yep. That was a classic.
Nail biting action the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I wasn't, like I said, I'm indifferent. I'm a Dodger fan. I, granted, didn't really care that much. Obviously, Cubs a little slightly favored, but even I was just on the edge of my seat watching that game while I was working.
Yeah, and you know, I think that game five last week, last Thursday, I believe it was, when the Cubs came back in just a ridiculous fashion and won and moved on to the NLDS or NLCS. Sorry, I thought this is, if the Cubs end up going on and actually winning the World Series, this reminds me so much of just little flashpoints when the Giants were doing similar things, whether it be Travis Ishikawa or Scudero in the rain game, you know, all these moments that I could just go back to and remember, you know, the series turned on this play or this hit, this pitch, whatever it was. And so as agonizing as it was, it does help that in the past 5 or 6 years now, the Giants won 3 World Championships.
I mean, it really was. That was pretty much my biggest sigh of relief was that
it wasn't gonna happen.
Dragon, we killed that dragon finally. It was like the head was off. You can't come back from this. Stop this believing. And it was,
we'll be back in 2 years.
Exactly. Right?
Yeah.
I was gonna say, there's even year every other year Giants fans, so try again next time.
Yeah, so we'll take next year off. You know.
Yeah.
Why even suit up?
Yeah.
Right?
Maybe the A's will do something next year. Who knows?
No, the A's are just gonna develop a bunch of really talented young players and then give them all away as they do each and every year.
Yeah, that sounds typical.
But yeah, so you know, let's move on from the heartache that is being a Giants fan just for this season. And let me tell you real quick, sorry, before we move on, there is no bigger bandwagon Giants fan this year in particular than myself. I've probably watched 25 games all season. And then playoffs came and I watched every game, every moment, wore my Giants jersey. But it is what it is. I'm willing to own it. I was there for the other seasons, even last year when we weren't winning. I was there. I watched most of the games. But this past season, man, I was too burnt after the Warriors lost in dramatic fashion. I wanted to take some time. I wanted to take some me time.
Okay.
So I detached a little bit. And then it was like, oh, we're playing the Dodgers to get in. Okay, now I'm a fan again. Super fan, here I come.
I was going to say, that's kind of one of the reasons I think baseball really benefited this playoffs was the ending that it did have, especially on the NL side in regards to the, you know, the wild card situation.
Agreed.
That provided some pretty much playoff action a month, you know, a couple weeks earlier than it was supposed to. And that's really carried over. I mean, we had a great series with Washington and LA that went to five games in an amazing game five that, you know, is definitely going to go down in one of the games I could barely stand to watch.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I told you, I mean, for the games, I couldn't even watch them, really. I rode my bike and listened to them on the radio because I couldn't sit there on my couch and just sit, you know, watch as unfolded. It was too much for me.
Listening on the radio is a little more therapeutic for me. You know,
yeah.
I get the same way. The last couple Giants World Series runs, I remember there was certain games where I did the same thing, ride a bike, jump in my car, go to a friend's house, drive around, and listen to the game because it was at times, and there's just so much downtime and so much tension that builds in a way in baseball that doesn't happen in the other sports I watch because it's continuous action. Yeah. I mean, somewhat in football, but it's usually a final drive or something, you know, where in baseball it could last inning after inning after inning, you know.
You're guaranteed
it's so slow paced too.
Yeah.
It does, and that slow pace definitely really feels it in those tense moments right there. Like, just pitch between pitch, it was just like, every single time you took that wind up, I'm going like a, you know, just like you just wind up because in the next second, something is going to happen that could shake this game up completely. And that's what really I think baseball has over really any other sports. Like, yes, you can say like any other next play, you could drive, you know, throw a Hail Mary down there, but not so much because there's already set play in there within a football or in basketball. While in baseball, what's after the pitch, no one knows. I mean, it's not scripted in any way, shape, or fashion.
Right. Yeah, and you bring up a good point. In almost any other sport, you could see a play develop.
Yes.
And you get that
scoring option is there.
Yeah,
it's like,
but in baseball, it's instantaneous.
Yes.
It's either a strike or a hit, you know, or a ball. You don't. But so I did want to talk about the game five, not game five in particular, but kind of a macro look at the way the media views Kershaw, if we could, real quick. It's just funny how you know, he was afraid of the moment. He didn't want the ball in the big games, and now it's like, and now what? You know,
I mean, I was going to say, again, as a Dodger fan, I've not been hiding that. I really feel we've left him off the hook very easily. The media has, in some way. I mean, he's not doing any... Yes, he did an amazing feat in that Game 5, coming in and requesting the ball and getting the final two outs. But, I mean, it's not that we haven't seen that before. We saw Madison Bumgarner do that.
Yeah.
Come in there and close out a game for them and having an historic run to win a World Series.
That's a specialty.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And what I'm saying, Kershaw, he's on his way to, like... It's like, you know, a building is on fire and he's putting it out right now, but like there's a gas can that's like 2 feet away that could blow up at any point in time. He's got to make sure that doesn't happen, because if you really want to erase that completely, I think you really have to do every single time that you're pitching, you have to be fantastic. And that's, I mean, that's obviously, you know, easier said than done, but because it's hard for him to take all the blame because he only plays, you know, once every other day, it seems like now, because of how much they are using him, but still he's not an everyday player.
Yeah, and I heard a stat in the last the last three times that Kershaw was lost a game in the postseason, he left 14 total base runners. And of those 14, the bullpen let nine of them score.
Yes.
So that obviously paints a picture. But you bring up an interesting point. When you contrast Kershaw, for the most part, I think, I don't know if it would be unanimous, but for the most part, he's considered the best pitcher in baseball right now.
Yeah, regular season wise, I mean,
in the regular season,
yeah,
right?
He is hands down has been for the past, I'd say, 4 years. He's really kind of held that crown,
right? And then when you contrast that with his postseason performance, and then when you look across to their rival team, and they have this phenom in the postseason, Bummy, who's, you know, has an ERA on the road of like 0.4, something ridiculous.
Yeah, not even one at that time.
Yeah, it's insane. But, you know, and you start to expect that from Kershaw, which is kind of a ridiculous request, but also understandable. No, greatness requires, or it comes along with expectations. And I guess when you're going to be the best pitcher in the regular season, sure.
You got to be able to translate that. No, definitely. And Bummy did set a very high standard for how postseason pitcher, how pitching in the postseason is supposed to be.
Yeah, just the highest.
I was going to say, like, it's almost insurmountable what someone has to do to be able to top what he's done. So all props to Bum and what he's accomplished. Granted, and he's had, not to put any shame on him in the regular season, still a fantastic pitcher. Granted, his numbers are not there as Kershaw. Granted, the Cy Youngs aren't there.
Winner.
Yeah, it's still, like I said, big time winner, low ERA. But again, he doesn't have the Cy Young awards that Kershaw has, mm-hmm. or the
run support.
That's true. Like I said, as always, but definitely Kershaw is on his way to like writing the history books right now. But at any point in time, you know, he's got to complete it. It's not done yet. The burden is not off his back. He's had some great performances. Again, this past game that they had at Wrigley Field, it was phenomenal. 7 innings, 2 hits, no runs.
Mm-hmm.
But that 7th inning, man, it still gives him a scare. Nice to see him finally get out of that because the stat is amazing between his regular innings, his first 6 innings versus the 7th inning in the postseason is ridiculous. I think it was 3.06 is his ERA in the first 6 innings. And in the 7th inning alone, it's like 27. So that 7th inning has been a huge hurdle for him, and he finally got over it. Granted, almost lost my heart in that 7th inning, the last out. I don't know if any witnessed it. It was a long fly ball
yeah.
to deep center. Jock Peterson caught it on the warning track.
I saw that.
Oh, and when he hit it, the crowd stood up, and I was like, I was working at that time, and I, you know, fellow patron, we were talking about Kershaw's issues, like, oh, man, this is 7th inning, and sure enough, hits a bomb, and I literally was like, no. You know, I was like, bleep no.
Yeah.
And thinking that ball was gone. And there was a guy on base who were giving him the lead. But he got over that. It was a fly. It was an out. And I think it was a mental hurdle for him to get over. And I think he's finding his stride in the postseason right now.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, especially about that play in particular. I do think, yeah, we'll see. I mean, he win a World Series and then, you know, people start looking at you different.
Yeah.
So where do you want to go from here? You want any more...
I mean, I do want to give a quick update on there is a, you know, another playoff series that is currently going on as we speak. The Indians and
yes.
the Blue Jays are currently in a 1-0 game right now in the top of the second with Cleveland up. So that's currently going on right now. And Cleveland does have that 2-0 lead, so yeah. Toronto's really in a kind of a must-win situation here at the Rogers Center.
Yep, and we were talking earlier about how ridiculous would it be.
Cubs and Indians.
Yeah,
series like that.
Well, just the Indians in general being in there. I think Toronto is a little bit shocking, but Cleveland is honestly. I did not
That's
see
insane.
Them. Yeah, I did not see them coming.
Is Joe Mauer still on that team?
Joe Mauer.
No, he's on Minnesota. Wow, yeah, yeah. I get those teams confused because they've both been garbage for years.
And they have like the similar colors, similar, and both in the same division. Yeah,
yeah, and Joe Mauer. Seems like a guy who could be from Cleveland or Minnesota.
They're both like very kind of
similar.
They
seem very interchangeable. Yeah.
I wonder if people in Cleveland and Minnesota are probably rioting right now. Like, how dare you compare me to those people?
All are Cleveland and Minnesota.
Yes, they're everywhere. We're popular over there now in the Midwest.
We're giant in
Akron. I mean, granted, I've always said Cleveland has like the best, one of my favorite sports movies ever made about them. So I'm always kind of a fan of Cleveland Indians. So Major League is always a
great
classic.
Major
for
League's
me.
Fire.
Yeah, it's always a classic for me. But I was going to say, I did have one time, we had one Cleveland fan in the bar the other when they were clinching against Boston.
I mean, they exist.
They do.
Yeah, they definitely
do. Yeah, they're around.
Yeah.
Few and far between.
All right, but they're out there. Good for them.
No, they don't. They better not win.
All right, you good?
Yeah. I was going to say baseball. I'd say we covered everything we need to in baseball, I feel.
Okay.
Yeah.
We were going to get into a music break, but we got 12 minutes before we actually have to go to any sort of break. So you want to just jump into football? Because I'm good with that. And you know what?
Yeah.
I'm 50% of this show, so we're just going to do it. Oh, the Panthers. Ah, man. Yesterday's game was fun. I mean, probably not for you guys, but it was an entertaining game. I texted you, Derek, pretty early in the morning because the Panthers were down 21-0 and then ended up coming all the way back, tying the game 38-38 late in the fourth quarter, and the Saints ended up kicking a field goal. I believe they ran timeout and kicked a field goal with zeros on the clock, won the game.
They had a chance to... close it out. They had a last second Hail Mary drive.
Oh, they did get the ball back. That's right. And they tried. They didn't even try the Hail Mary. They went for the pitch laterals, and that was just embarrassing.
That's never
like
worked.
Like
they, it has. Okay. Boise State beat Oklahoma with a crazy lateral play.
Okay, well that was a hook and ladder play. That wasn't like
good point.
I'm gonna throw it to you now, everyone.
There was a game I think Saints and Jaguars like 10 years ago that a play like ended like that. It was like a bunch of laterals.
Yeah,
like
that's
that.
Right. That's right.
And isn't there the one that point and lost a game?
Yeah, that's right. That's a great call.
Isn't there the one where the band ran on the field?
Yeah, that was Stanford Cal.
That was a kickoff.
Yeah.
But still, like, they tried lateraling it and whatnot, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
That was a last-ditch effort. Miami last year beat
Duke on, I think they threw 12 or 13 laterals.
Okay, fine. So it works, but on the rarest of occasions.
What a dumb argument we're having right now.
It happens. Basically, the point of the story is it happens.
It does happen.
And the Panthers.
But it's very rare.
And will probably never happen for the Panthers.
No, and Cam has a huge arm. It's weird. Like, when I saw him break up, we're still talking about this. When I saw him break off the line, I was like, oh, they're not going for a Hail Mary? What are they doing? And then I saw the play develop.
I mean, you've got Kelvin Benjamin, who's a pretty big dude. You've got Devin Funchess, who's a pretty big dude.
And Kelvin's huge. Why would that
Greg Olsen, pretty big dude.
Yeah.
All those dudes are 6'4".
Ted Ginn, fast dude. Philly Brown, fat. Dude, I'm just, it's ridiculous.
They've got the players for it.
Yeah, I don't know what happened there. I don't know. I thought that was a poor play call, but I mean, it is like last second. What are you going to do? But your questions here on the rundown confuse me.
It was more of just like a how, what, when, where, how. Did it like the whole 1-5 aspect for this team on this Panthers.
Those are definitely questions I ask myself every time I think about this season.
Yes.
How did we end up 1-5?
The teams that everyone roots for in here are both 1-5 right
now. Yeah, I was going to say.
That's confusing.
It's thank God we played the Niners this year, otherwise we'd probably be 0-6.
Yeah, you guys are a one win, so there, we got that on you.
Yeah, that did happen.
2001 season again, we're going 1-15.
I mean, it is honestly just kind of interesting. Not many, we're amateur hour here. We don't always have the numbers, and I didn't quite get a chance to look it up. But the number of teams that have started this poorly after being to the Super Bowl are very few. I think the number was like 6 or 4, something like that. And one of the teams is the Panthers, obviously, this year. And another one of those teams is the Panthers from 2004.
Hell yeah.
So I just liked how the Panthers are two of the teams that have done this poorly after reaching a Super Bowl.
Yeah. Did you say a Super Bowl?
Super Bowl. Yeah, I'm good. I know how I talk. You speak well.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. This is it's been surprising. Obviously, Cam being out, they're only negative 15 point differential on the season, so they could easily be 3-2, 2-3, and not looking nearly as bad. Obviously, that that game against Denver could have gone either way.
Just kicks it the right way.
Yeah,
kicking game's been very off for them. Defense is
last week. Derek Anderson throws a horrible pass in the red zone.
I don't even want to talk about how many different ways he screwed me in fantasy that week. But, that happened. So, I mean, you know, we're splitting hairs here. The Panthers would seem to still be, at least on paper, a good team. They're not that dramatically different than they were last year.
Josh Norman, honestly, like, looking back on it, that's been a huge, obvious thing, because our secondary is just
getting torched.
It is.
It's absolutely torched. That Brandon Cooks 87-yard touchdown was insane how he got it. And now, to be fair, Brandon Cooks has now done that twice this season. He's the only guy with two.
Yeah, he's a great receiver.
Yeah, he's the only guy with 2 85-yard plus touchdowns. But he absolutely smoked was it Hernandez or Sanchez?
Probably Sanchez. Sanchez, the fifth round pick.
Absolutely torched him. Yep. You can't break the way he did on the ball when you don't have deep cover help, especially know the guy you're covering. Like, that's what Brandon Cooks does. Yeah. But anyway, it seems to be their biggest weakness this year has been their defense.
Also, like, their inability to get to the quarterback with the four-man team. Yeah, four-man rush. They used to be fantastic at it last year, and this year has been
dead. KK Short. He's just been completely unavailable.
He punched Drew Brees in the face yesterday.
I'm glad he did something. At least did something.
No, but
contract year, too. Like,
And
I don't know, maybe he's just tanking on purpose.
And those two things are correlated, right? If you can't get to the passer, then that puts a lot more pressure on your DBs and your secondary to cover longer. And when you lose someone of Josh Norman's caliber, which I think we're all finding out now, it wasn't all hype last year. He's a pretty good damn quarterback back there. And so those things, you know, just work in cahoots to make for a poor passing defense. So we'll see. You guys are Panthers fans. Anything you want to hit before we move on? I'll take that silence as no. This is enough suffering.
That's what I'm going to say. Don't stop believing. And if you're a Panther fan, don't watch any sports shows.
Yeah, they're getting torched.
Or go online.
Except ours, of course.
Yeah.
I mean, other than the fact that Cam is just somewhat ridiculous sometimes.
Yeah,
I know he doesn't like the whole scrutiny he gets, but you got to take it, man.
Yeah, from time to time, you just got to take it on the chin.
Yeah.
He didn't play terrible, especially in the second half. He didn't play particularly great either, but he is coming back from a concussion, so we'll see. Speaking of going down, we have Big Ben yesterday goes down again. This happens every season, it seems like.
You didn't like my little clockwork, Big Ben goes down? You took that out?
I liked it.
I didn't take it out.
It's not in there?
Big Ben goes down. Yeah, no.
Well, I said when I wrote it originally, I said like clockwork.
Big Ben goes down. Year.
Granted, yep. Maybe I wrote it and just thought I wrote that.
I think maybe you desired to write that.
I mean, because that's pretty decent. That's a nice little, you know, of my puns I do. Like clockwork. No, okay, fine. I'll stop now.
So Big Ben went down yet again. This seems to happen every season, and the thing that was pretty insane is they weren't playing very good, though Darius Heyward-Bey had the play of his lifetime running the ball. This is probably the highlight of his NFL career, where he just, it was crazy. He jumped in midair, stiff-armed
the guy. That's like the good thing.
I mean, he's not known for his hands. He's just known to be speedy. He had a pretty crazy play, but other than that, I mean, this is just football, right? I mean, if you could pick any lock, it'd probably be Pittsburgh against Miami last week. And Miami won by 15. So go figure. Big Ben played the second half with a torn meniscus, which is always chill. And so
just Big Ben things.
Yeah, I don't know. This happens every season. Fantasy owners should know better. I drafted him.
Yeah, I'm in your boat with that, too.
Yeah.
Look, I got Matty Ice as my backup, so I'm okay on that. But still, he does like to just, I mean, he's great point-wise, though. He throws the ball really well when he's playing.
Yeah.
I mean, he's still their best option when he comes back, so.
Oh, yeah. No, he's great. I mean, but it's just, it just keeps happening.
I mean, he is a large dude. And I just feel like that's
And he takes a lot of hits. He stays up and he keeps plays alive.
So, like, every single time he gets hit, he's got his weight that's, working against him. And, it's just, he's a lumbering load and he takes a lot of it.
He's a lumbering load. All right.
Right? Yeah.
That was money. Yeah, no, I'm good with
that. Flashes of brilliance.
Back at it again.
Oh, boy. Raiders suffer a tough loss to Kansas City. That's a bad loss. I don't know how else to put it. It's at home. You lose like that to Kansas City. Yeah. They seem to really be, and it's not to say they won't come out. I mean, it's the randomness of sports, right?
I mean, the AFC is really kind of, the West is really crazy right now over there.
It's crazy interesting, that's for sure. It's
just when you thought the Broncos were going to take off, they've sort of fallen back to earth. Mm-hmm. And San Diego suddenly looks good again.
Feel like San Diego's always looked pretty good this entire season. They just had some terrible luck.
Yeah, exactly.
Something's just not falling their way.
But they pulled out last week. That was a really important win for them. And
San Diego only had to play three quarters, they would be on everyone's number one on power rankings.
Yeah.
They'd be leading the division. They have going in the last Thursday night, they had plus 57 point differential going into the second half, which is stupid. It was number one in the league and a negative 37 point differential in the fourth quarter, which is not even, I mean, it's by far the worst in the NFL.
Completely awesome stat right there, honestly. As mind-blowing as it sounds.
And I don't even have that written down, so thank you.
Good for you.
I'm
just making up numbers right now, guys.
That was going into last Thursday night's game. I remember hearing it, and it's one of those things you hear, and you're just like, wait, what? I had to rewind the TV. I was like, nah, that can't be right, but that's accurate. San Diego looks, I mean, they've always looked okay. They just keep losing players, man. But the whole AFC West, Broncos are coming back, crashing back down to earth, as you said earlier, Josh. The Raiders look formidable this year for sure. The Chiefs look about the way you expect the Chiefs to look. Really good, not really solid, not great, not terrible.
Consistent.
Consistent, yeah. They are, I think the Kansas City Chiefs are the football embodiment of Alex Smith as a football player.
They're a 9-7 team.
Yeah, they're I would
say
good.
I say right now they're like 10-6.
Yeah, they could be. Yeah, and they could also be 9-7. You know,
well, they could be 7-9.
Yeah, they could. Yeah. And it's just somewhere who Alex Smith is.
Yeah, that's just like he's the average Joe. You know, I feel he's just like he plays the position well. He doesn't do anything spectacular, but he doesn't do anything awful either. He does a good job protecting the ball for the most part. He's serviceable.
Yeah. No. Absolutely. Yeah. And so no, that division is very interesting. You are listening to Talking About Practice. Speaking of being very interesting, know a couple of guys who are that from time to time, flashes of brilliance. You're checking us out on FM 90.1 KZFR, broadcasting live from downtown Chico, California. Broadcasting also Sacramento Valley, foothills, and beyond. Beyond. That's very important because we're everywhere. On your computer.
Cleveland and Minnesota, man, represent.
In Cleveland, Minnesota, in Arlington, Texas, where my aunt listens to us. We're all over, man.
Yeah, we're up in Seattle, Washington. I got my aunt and uncle listening down there. I got family in L.A. Yeah.
Shouts to my boy Perry, who listens to us in the U.K. right now. So that's cool. Yeah. International, baby.
Right on. I know. That's awesome.
We're just a humble little show here in Chico that's national as well.
Yes. Yeah. We're kind of a big deal.
Technically.
kind of a big deal.
Oh, man.
We do have some more people we do have to thank, though, so might as well get to our underwriting.
All right. Yeah, let's put me on the spot. I haven't read the copy yet, so we'll do this live. Thanks, Derek.
You're welcome.
Talking About Practice is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Midtown Local, serving small batch coffee from Ecuador? No, the equator. Breakfast and pastries, sandwiches, salads, and wraps, plus nitro cold brew coffee. You'll also find vegan and gluten-free options, 8 beers on tap, a nice assortment of wine, and a peaceful outdoor patio at E6th Street, right near the Pageant Theater. Open Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Saturday and Sunday, 8 to 4. Like them on Facebook or call 966-0054. That's 966-0054. For more information, bring it on down to Midtown. I like that copy, except the Equator, Ecuador part.
Yeah, that was very classy. Did you get your licenses? Did you get your degrees at Clown College or something?
I got my degree with you, so.
At Clown College. Who all, the way we graduated might as well have been Clown College.
My God. We definitely have to tell that story one day on air, because that is our fake graduation, you're in a cast or in a sling. It was a clown show. So
yeah, it was a fun time.
Thanks, Mom, for all the support over the years.
Love you guys.
Yeah, shouts to our parents for dealing with us. Let's stay with NFL for a minute if we could.
Yeah.
Let's get some background music. I'm getting kind of bored without the music. You guys good with that?
Yeah.
Not bored. I'm always entertaining, but, you know, always on, always entertaining.
Yeah.
So you wanted to talk about, you said the Atlanta Falcons here on the show rundown look for real. Even in a loss to the Seahawks, and I wrote immediately after, don't trust the Falcons.
Yeah,
so first,
I would agree with that.
But first, I want to hear your take on them looking for real. Because I happen to agree with you. Let me put that on the front end here.
They, like I said, we like to always hold that against them, but what they're doing right now, it's honestly, like I said, especially up in Seattle, the way they came back in that game in particular really kind of showed to me that, okay, this team, they've really got an actual chance of being something right now. And they are real. They just got to keep being real to continue to be real. That's a classic line. I mean, they got a great squad around them. Matt Ryan is a very great, great, good quarterback. I think he's very good. He's a Pro Bowler. He can be all right. And you got Julio Jones.
Interject real quick.
Yes.
I think we have to make a quota or a restriction. Only one Matty Ice nickname drop per show.
I tried. Did you say?
You corrected yourself.
Yeah, and I was like, no, I already said it once. I can't say it again.
I appreciate it. Yeah. I just noticed it as well. And so I just think as a show, we should all agree. One per episode, and then we're moving on.
Yes.
And then it does get
really annoying when you just keep calling him Matty Ice. Yeah.
But go ahead. I just thought that would be fun.
Okay. But like I said, you do have Julio Jones there, Devontae Freeman, good running back, and you got Terrence Coleman as well. Nice little backup there.
Yeah.
Defense is looking okay, too. I mean, it's not – that's been their weak spot for quite some time.
Yeah.
But I mean, they're, like I said, they made the Falcons really start, I'm sorry, not the Falcons, they made the Seahawks really start sweating.
Yeah.
All these birds out there.
And I want to talk about that later and how the Seahawks just keep pulling these games out of their butts.
Yeah,
in Seattle. It's so obnoxious. And we'll talk about Richard Sherman in particular and my beef with Richard Sherman. Actually, my admiration for Richard Sherman that started as a beef. But we'll get to that later in the show. So I wrote down here, I think this is kind of a funny antidote. And the reason I say don't trust the Falcons is, well, for many reasons.
Playoffs.
They've never... Playoffs. I don't know if you guys remember this, but I remember them blowing a 17-point lead to the 49ers a few years ago. Mm-hmm. That happened.
I remember that game very well.
I also remember the NFL Man of the Year, Eugene Robinson. Again, the NFL Man of the Year being arrested the night before the Super Bowl for soliciting a prostitute. Again, the night before the Super Bowl. NFL Man of the Year.
Stress, you know, get a little, you know, probably massage or something.
His family was in town, man.
Trying to get a, you don't want to get a massage from your sister.
No. His wife and kids were in town.
Okay, fine. You don't want a massage from
anyway,
your wife.
Their once in a generation quarterback went to jail for, you know, being involved in a dog ring scandal. Don't trust the Falcons, man. Just don't do it. Don't do it. Just save yourself. If you're an Atlanta Falcons fan, save yourself the heartache. Just don't do it.
Just even in recent history, last year they went 5-1 to start out the year, and then they just tanked after that. So.
Yep, that happened as well.
Yeah.
So
they have to prove it in the playoffs, basically. The only thing that'll save them at this point, it's like the same thing with the Nationals. Like the only thing that could save that team's reputation is they just gotta win in the playoffs when it counts.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think honestly, for the most part, a team that makes the playoff consistently is still going to be viewed as a good team, as opposed to a team that can't win in the playoffs. Just because I think everyone knows how difficult it is to actually win a Super Bowl. It's a very difficult task to do. And I think that just as long as they play consistent and keep getting themselves to the playoffs, I think that's what Matt Ryan really just kind of does to keep proving himself. I don't really see him as being like one of those complete Hall of Fame quarterbacks that's like leading his team to Super Bowl after Super Bowl. I don't really see that for this team. I see them more as just continual perennial playoff contenders and should always be there and in the mix. Maybe they're not playing for Super Bowls, but they're competing for them.
Yeah, no, I'm actually I fall right in line with that. I completely agree with you. I think one thing, yeah, I think football is very random. I think all sports are, but football in particular, I think it does the poorest job of crowning the truly best team. And I don't think playoffs in any of our major sports is a great representation. I think maybe EPL does it the best as far as how they crown their champion. Obviously the English Premier League.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think in a one game sample size, yes, it's really hard to, I think you guys understand the point I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's not a perfect science to say who the best team is year after year. And I'm just kind of having fun, but at the same time, like, just don't trust the Falcons.
I mean, I don't get me wrong. I'm not, like, putting my trust in them right now.
Julio's an alien. I think we all agree. He's not a real person. He's insane.
If he keeps playing the Panthers this year, he'll probably get, like, 5,000 yards in receiving.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a nice little number right there.
Yeah.
That would.
theoretically, this is an alternate universe, but he's good, basically. He's pretty good.
He's pretty all right.
He can catch the ball.
Yeah, I don't know. Just don't trust the Falcons.
I'm not trusting them. I'm just saying they're real. They got a chance, and they just got to, you know, keep playing.
So this isn't on the show rundown, but again, shouts to Auntie Ariel out there. I keep wanting to talk Cowboys football, and it's just, I keep putting it off. And I think Rain Dakota, we have to talk about my man, the Rain Dakota attack. If you don't know who I'm talking about, Dak Prescott, that's his real name, ladies and gentlemen. Rain Dakota Prescott.
I don't know why you changed that to Dak. You just completely just shot yourself in the foot, I feel, for all the coolness.
Dak is back. Dak attack.
No, I'm just, Dak sounds like it's just weak. I don't know.
Like Dak. I don't know.
It's just three letters. I don't know. Like, we don't need, I don't know. Rain Dakota.
Rain sounds soft to me.
Rain Dakota. I don't know. There's something about that that's just,
we'll agree to disagree on this one. Moving on, though. Wow. Huh?
Yeah, he's having a phenomenal
start. He's been great. I mean, you can't ask anything more than what this young rookie's been giving you.
I mean, not just him, Ezekiel Elliott as well. I mean, granted, they have a great offensive line in Dallas. But
I think that's the real key here is how good that offensive line is.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. That has a lot to do with it. Obviously. Yeah.
Offensive lines are important.
Yeah, very important. But I think even though they've been great, you cannot take away or dilute what these rookies have been doing, man.
They still got to do it out. They still got to go out there and perform. So someone has to run through the gaps. Someone has to throw the ball.
And Dak Prescott has completed something like 80-something percent of play-action passes. He has yet to throw an interception.
Didn't he pass Tom Brady for that record of most passes in his started career without an interception?
And I don't want to I don't want to go down the lazy or the obvious road of is there going to be quarterback controversy? Because let's just wait till Tony Romo is cleared to play, and then we can have that conversation. We only have an hour to fill on this show. We don't have 3 hours, or else I'm sure we would wander
this
there.
Isn't First Take.
Yeah, right. We don't need to make up topics. We don't talk about things unless we find them interesting. Because again, we're community radio and we get to talk about whatever the hell it is we want, which is pretty cool. But yeah, I just wanted to shout him out, as much as it pains me because, my aunt, every other Cowboy fan I've ever encountered annoys me for the most part. Even my buddies who are Cowboys fans, it's just like that whole team just always seems like a sideshow, and it seems like the team itself is a caricature of an actual NFL football team. And it's probably because of the guy who's running the ship there, and Jerry Jones just seems like a cartoon character, like an evil villain from, like, you know.
Yeah. Speaking of, like, you're kind of going into this route of evil villains and talking about movies about sports franchises, another one that's a really classic of mine is North Dallas 40, gold old classic 70s to 80s movie with Nick Nolte that's pretty much supposed to be a parody of the 80s Cowboys. That's honestly when I think of the Cowboys. I don't know if anyone's ever seen that movie. That's what I always think of, is everyone in that movie pretty much. Because it feels like it fits that team to, like, debauchery and just, you know, down to science. Someone trying to win, but everyone's like, oh, we're just here to have football and have fun.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I haven't seen the film, but
You've never seen North Dallas 40?
I don't think so.
I haven't either.
You've never? Wow, okay, so I'm nowhere near why no one got my reference. Okay, I'm going to talk.
That's hence the blank faces.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
How I just said I agree with you, even though I didn't know what the hell you're talking about. I just wanted to move on.
You're such a politician. Fine, yeah. All right.
I just wanted to move on. So, I don't know. Any other? We do want to. Let's just do it. Let's just talk Niners now. Let's just get it out of the way. Yeah. Ah, oh, man. Okay. So Cap started yesterday.
Yeah,
Colin Kaepernick got his first start of the 2016 NFL season. Looked all right in the first half. The wheels just fell off of that train on the second half. He didn't look great in the second half, but for that matter, no one wearing a Niners uniform or coaching or associated with the Niners looked great in the second half. And I just, let's just keep it with football for a second. That defense is embarrassing. Bowman leaving, I knew it was going to be bad. I didn't know it was going to be this bad this quickly. That's been kind of disappointing, to say the least. We have a segment on the show, which is I Now Know, where we just say quick sentences about the past weekend in football. And one of mine was that I'm not going to use, so I'll use it here, is now I know that you can get a first down on 3rd and 20 when you're backed up in your own zone simply by handing the ball off.
That's fantastic to know that, because it's like a great new weapon people can have, right? Yeah.
That's insane that they gave that up. Keep in mind, it was a 13-17 game at that point. The Niners were in great position to get the ball back with great field position, only down 4, to make it an actual game. And they let LeSean McCoy scamper for 25 yards when they had the Bills backed up in their own red zone. And they let him run for 25 yards on a 3rd and 20, which is just unforgivable. And the rest of the game just was more of that.
I mean, I wasn't really watching that game as much, just because, like I said, it did get out of control pretty quick, especially like towards the end. The Bills, honestly, that's kind of a pretty interesting looking team over there, I have to admit.
They're too inconsistent for me. Like, they look good But then they, you know, when you least expect it, they just sort of, or when you expect it, they just sort of fall apart. But well, no, they've got a great rushing game, obviously.
You got Ty God Taylor behind the behind the line right there.
Ty God, you
Ty
mean?
Ty God, yeah.
We had some fun with that. I do have sound. I mean, yeah, I don't have anything more football about that.
Okay, I was going to say, yeah, I mean, you had something more you wanted to do about the post-game stuff.
I was going to get into the Greg Popovich sound. I can't, the only clips I'm finding right offhand are 6 minutes, and I don't think anyone wants to listen to a six-minute clip.
Not particularly.
But I do have some sound here of Colin Kaepernick addressing, I guess, some of the criticism he's been receiving post game, or you know, during games, and just from fans in general. Let's take a listen real quick.
I don't understand what's un-American about fighting for liberty and justice for everybody, for the equality that this country says it stands for. Now, to me, I see it as very patriotic and American to uphold the United States to the standards that it says it lives by. You know, that's something that needs to be addressed.
So we got it. We don't need to listen to it twice. I don't know. I've honestly discussed this thing. We've spent 45 minutes on it one show. I've talked about this on other shows, BYOB Radio, my show Flipside Radio. I'm to the point of where I'm starting to reach exhaustion about it, but I don't think that's quite fair, because I do think this topic is something that is obviously at the forefront of I guess national conversation right now. It's probably the election and then this. So
yeah, it's still a big issue, definitely. That's
it's being, not going away.
Yeah, I mean, it's he's still kneeling, correct?
Yes, he's still kneeling. Yeah. Basically what happened is there were there are some new things that are happening, maybe not new in the sense that they haven't happened in other forums, but the way fans were receiving him, a bunch of fans, Bills fans and Niners fans, prior to the game, during the national anthem outside the stadium, who were tailgating, took a knee and all kneeled during the national anthem in support or solidarity to Cap and what, you know, this awareness that he's trying to start, and this cause, I guess, he's trying to start. And also a lot of, they're selling t-shirts with rifle scopes and Kaepernick's face on there. So it is a interesting dynamic. During the national anthem itself and right before it started, people started chanting USA, USA, USA at Cap as he was kneeling. A lot of fans, you could hear it in the stadium, were chanting that, which is kind of confounding on several levels, because that seems just as disrespectful, if not more, while someone's singing the national anthem, to be having your side chant go on, even if it is, you know, supposed to be a patriotic chant. It seems weird that you would be more focused on yelling at a guy for exercising his right of expression, freedom of speech, so on and so forth, while someone is singing the national anthem. It was just like when people were booing him during the national anthem. I find all of that,
it's a little odd,
perplexing.
Yeah. People definitely,
for obvious reasons,
interesting way of expressing their feelings towards him.
But I do think it's interesting that the way fans are receiving him, and now that he's a starter, I don't know that it changes the conversation. I just think, from a football perspective, I'm glad, because Blaine Gabbert was horrible to watch. At least there's something to watch with Kaepernick.
Yeah, it keeps things interesting.
It's interesting. And it's the only thing, I said this on the show a week or two ago, it's the only thing the Niners have to look forward to this season. The season's lost. I find it fascinating, too, that in 2012, we believe Trent Baalke was a great GM. We believe that Chip Kelly was a genius, and we believe that Kaepernick was the future. Here we are just a few years down the road, and everything's changed, and they're all terrible together.
Jim Harbaugh is still good, though, apparently.
He's doing his thing over there in Michigan.
So that's fascinating. I really do find that fascinating. But I think Kaepernick is the only interesting thing about the 49ers during the season, is to see how he plays. Because the Niners, no one really knows what he has left. I mean, he had three off-season surgeries this year. Three. A hip, thumb, and shoulder. So I actually could be wrong about the hip, but I know it was a shoulder and a thumb for sure. And those are kind of important to quarterbacks. So, and he lost 30 pounds because he was dealing with that. So he's not in football shape. He hasn't been, I'm not making excuses for the guy. I'm just saying what's up. So I think, you know, we'll see what happens with the Niners. Obviously, I don't think much positive is going to happen.
Probably not. No, they're not going to get much better out of this right now. You might as well just let Cap do what he can right now on the field and see what you can get out of him, if
yeah.
anything now.
Agreed. Yeah. So, and then, you know, now that he signed this out, there's an out for both the team and Cap after this season. So it's the only thing really to look forward to. We got to know if there's anything there or if you should just scrap the entire thing, get rid of your front office, get rid of your coach, get rid of your starting quarterback and just start from ground up. You got to find out this season. You know, you can't stretch this out into a three-season long thing.
You got to give him enough games out there to see if he's something worth to keep around and if you want to build around him or not. That's the biggest position out there in football.
I do have a conspiracy theory.
Okay.
Donald Trump, make America great again, right?
Yes.
The Niners now play where? Santa Clara, right?
Okay.
In the parking lot of where? Great America.
So they're waiting
confirmed.
For...
Confirmed.
I'm just saying, as Donald Trump goes, maybe that's how the Niners will go.
So if Trump wins, they'll be okay. If they lose, he'll not. Okay.
It's just a working theory.
Okay. All right.
I haven't done a ton of research.
Doesn't sound like it. No.
But it does seem to correlate.
If you like coincidences.
When Trump first began to whispers and rumors about him running started to float out there.
Yeah.
The Niners were also simultaneously moving from San Francisco to Santa Clara. Stay with me here.
Maybe they're trying to get rid of the liberal smudge that SF is leaving on them and trying to break away from that.
Yeah.
Become more conservative.
How's that been going for the Niners? The curse of Donald Trump, man.
They've been playing.
It's like the curse of the great Bambino. We just don't know it yet. It's like the goat for the Cubs. Yeah. You know, we just don't know it yet.
To be able to call it a curse, though, is very like you're just completely demeaning the word curse right there because it's just happening. Like let it seep in for a little bit, a couple years, then you can say there's a curse.
Every curse has got to start somewhere, though.
Yep.
Yeah, but you don't know it's a curse until it's like a few years later, I feel.
Yeah, so I'm trying to get ahead of the curve on this one. If you want in with me, there's real estate. There's a lot of real estate right now because I think I'm the only one.
I'm not looking to buy any up right now, so I'm okay.
All right, come talk to me in a couple years when prices skyrocket.
I was going to say, everyone told me the biggest thing about real estate is location, 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 and none of that looks...
Yeah, it's in Santa Clara. Why would you want to buy property there?
Exactly. I don't want to be a part of that issue.
Oh, I'm so bitter.
I couldn't tell. I'm sorry.
That's
what happens when you move from San Francisco to Santa Clara and still call yourself San Francisco.
Whoa, that came in so hot. My bad. I've done this before. Hey, let's get to that time of the week. Now I know. We don't have any imaging for it, so I'll just play really aggressive music at the top there.
Again, we are only an audio medium, so there's no visual pairing with this at all.
Again, imaging is what the term used for when you have like a drop for a segment.
Yeah, I know, but I'm using it in my way. So that's in this show. This is the word way imaging used in this show.
Hey, you're 50% of the brain trust around here. So
all right. 50% does not agree with that.
You're up, sir.
All right. So obviously now I know that basketball players are unable to throw baseballs. I don't know if you guys saw, but Draymond Green had a ceremonial first pitch at game number 4 of the San Francisco Giants versus the Cubs and missed terribly. Way off to the right.
Yes, that happened, but I also know that when Warriors players are in attendance, the Giants in the postseason, or at least when Steph, Draymond, or Kevin Durant are there, are undefeated. So,
except that one game where Draymond was there and they lost in game 4 and got eliminated from the playoffs in an even year from the Cubs a couple days ago. Yeah, okay. John Wall is also in that lineup of NBA players who cannot throw balls. I'm just going to say this as well. Rappers is 50 Cent. You're in that group. Why? I mean, we talked about this before. Like, I don't want to get, like, you know, gender roles and whatnot, but as a guy, being able to throw a ball, I think, is pretty important. Not just as a guy. Being able to throw anything is important, woman. Like, guy or girl. And if someone says, throw me the rope because I need to live, and you're like, I can't throw, well, you can just go let someone die because you can't throw. So learn to throw a ball.
That's very long, now you know. But I will say, in quick response to that, I feel that a free throw or shooting a jumper exposes you the most as far as coordination and being an athlete. But I think throwing a baseball in general would be high up there as well.
I think it's just like, it's just throwing something. Like, you throw things all the time.
It's
like
a natural motion.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I agree.
Yeah.
All right, so now I know Kevin Durant, speaking of KD, the Durantula, the new Golden State Warrior, is going to be super annoying all season long. I hate the way he interacts with the media. He is just a millennial that's super sensitive and says something and then comes back and says, like, oh, yeah, I'm glad that the Warriors lost because that allowed me to get here, essentially. And then he comes back the next day saying, oh, no, wait, no, I didn't mean it like that. You guys are twisting up my words. I'm just going to be me. Just stop, man. Just say what you mean and just eat it and live with it. Stop being so damn sensitive, bro. I got to listen to this all year.
Sorry about that.
As we win another championship.
Yeah, good luck
at least you're going to be winning.
Yeah. I'll deal with it. I'll put up with it.
Alright, my other now I know is that all three of the Heat players, Chris Bosh, Dwayne Wade, and LeBron James, don't really like Pat Riley, at least in my eyes, I feel.
Yep, that became pretty clear.
Yeah, over this past week, Dwayne Wade had made some drops that his team was actually thinking about going to Chicago to do this little LeBron James, Dwayne Wade duo thing. Chris Bosh came into the mix and kind of messed things up for the Bulls, so they had to find another team that could mix and fit them all together, and Miami Heat was that perfect team to do so. So they really tried to take all the power that Pat Riley tried to say that he did by combining these three people together and put it on their shoulders, which, to be honest, I like hearing more of that because I don't like hearing that owners have power in the league. It should be, the power should be to the players. They're the ones out there playing. They should be deciding where they want to play, whether it be for money or for people they want to play with. So sorry, Pat Riley. I guess you're just not as basketball savvy as we all thought.
All right. Now I know that the Rain Dakota Prescott attacks is real.
Okay.
All right.
He is real. No. Yeah. Fact. The Rook's real.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I already talked about that.
Rain Dakota. I like it. Keep calling him that.
Yeah, we will.
All right. Thank you.
Called that Dakota.
Speaking of that, actually, you know what? Go ahead with your last one.
My last now I know that riding your bike with no hands can lead to an ego-bursting moments. This past Saturday, I had an incident where I was trying to ride my bike with no hands on my handlebars. You know, that's how I do. And a gust of wind blew me, and it hit me right into the storm drain. Your boy took a little tumble over his handlebars, crashing into the ground. Protecting the moneymaker, though. Luckily, my voice is still okay. So, almost lost that. But took some shots, so I'm really sore right now. So it's been kind of a tough weekend. So be careful out there, guys. Hands on your handlebars, especially nowadays. It's cold and windy.
Yeah, that happened on the way to my house. I'm sorry that happened to you. I was recently hit by a car. And so on my bike, it's the third time it's happened to me. Now I know Julio Jones' real name is Quintarius Lopez Jones.
I like how you're just looking it up right now.
Well, I knew
it was different than Julio.
Yeah, no, I knew that. Okay. But what I didn't know was how to say it. And I'm still not 100% on that. So I had to look it up to at least look at the spelling because you know how good I am at reading. I have 2 college degrees, you know?
Yeah.
So
is that Ecuador?
Is this Ecuador?
Where did you get Julio from that? Quintarius Lopez?
If your name was Quintarius, wouldn't Julio be easier?
Yeah, but where do you get that? Like, wouldn't Quinn be easier? It actually fits. Or
maybe
Lopez.
He didn't want to be called Quinn.
Or Kilo.
Oh, Kilo would have been hard.
That would have been it right there.
I now see the errors in his ways. He's screwed up, man. He's screwed up.
Kilo. Julio. That's not as cool, man.
It's not as cool.
Unless you want to go by Julio, in which case I'm all for it.
Julio. Oh, I'm down with that. I kind of like that. Well, I don't know. You got...
Oh, wow. You're just breaking stuff in the studio right now. Good for you.
Yeah, well, if the listeners would help us out, we could buy a new board where the buttons don't pop off.
There we go, guys.
I'm just kidding.
This is on you.
In all seriousness, Pledge Drive is next week. Please, please, please tune in and support all of our wonderful, diverse programming we have here at 90.1 KZFR. That's going to do it for us, man.
I'll give you a quick little update right now. We're in the bottom of the fourth of the ALCS right now. Cleveland is up top 2-1 over Toronto. And then update second, we're still in the second in the Monday night game. 7-3 Arizona up on New York Jets. J-E-T-S, Jets, 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 in case you guys didn't know how to spell that.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
That was perfect. That was perfect. Josh, you got anything on the way out?
Nope.
Perfect. Even better. Leave it at that.
Don't stop believing in the Panthers.
Leave it at that. Nope was way better. Jaime's here, everyone. Jaime didn't get him on the mic, but what up, Jaime? Yeah.
What's good, boys? How we doing?
We're great.
Thanks.
All right. That was great.
And we out.
And we're out of here. I'm going to send you out with a little bit of Catronata.